decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It is good to have you with us on this Wednesday, the 16th day of February. More than halfway through the month of February. So we're more than halfway through the second month of the year. Hate to keep pointing that out, but time just flies by. And if you're not aware of it, you should be. So we're just watching the world go by. Actually, we're not watching the world go by. We are participating actively in the events of the world, observing, commenting, doing our best to shape whatever comes our way in obedience to God's word. Because while God has decreed whatsoever comes to pass, he has also decreed the means by which they come to pass. And his people are to be obedient to his word. And by being obedient to his word, we help bring about that which God has decreed. Yeah, I know. You wrap your heads around these things and it can give you a headache. I admit that. But they are important things to live theologically. Live, you know, coram Deo, live before the face of God every day, being aware that you are living before God, and then living theologically, coming to a true understanding of the doctrines of the Scripture and letting those doctrines shape your thoughts and actions. That is the goal of the Christian. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what God's will is. And that transformation of mind comes to pass through the study of his word. So Christians need to be in the word, and that is why Squirrel Chatter exists, primarily for the public reading of scripture, and secondarily for my thoughts on other topics, but primarily for the public reading of scriptures. And Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. I encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. You can find all sorts of great curated podcasts over there, which will edify you and entertain you and hopefully inform your mind and help in that transformation. And so our scriptures today, as we are continuing to read through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible, our scriptures today are Exodus 38 through 40 and Hebrews chapter 1. Let us begin then with our prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus chapter 38. And again, I am reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. You know, I haven't heard anything about the digital files in a while. They were supposed to be done fairly early on this year. And once those digital files are completed, then they'll be released to the software companies so that We might get the full text of the Legacy Standard Bible in our Bible software very soon. I'm looking forward to that. Don't know the timing on that. As I said, I haven't heard anything in a while. I do have friends at Accordance who have told me that it is a priority for Accordance. As soon as it's available, that's going to be up on Accordance. Don't know about Logos or other software platforms. I have friends that are Logos users who are very upset that they don't have any Legacy Standard Bible. They don't have the New Testament or anything. But as I said, you can go to read.lsbible.org and follow along with us as we are reading through the scriptures. Okay, Exodus 38. Then he made the altar a burnt offering of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide, square, and 3 cubits high. He made its horns on its 4 corners, its horns being of 1 piece with it, and he overlaid it with bronze. He made all the utensils of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the bowls, the flesh hooks and the fire pans. He made all its utensils of bronze. He made for the altar a grating of a network of bronze beneath, under its ledge, reaching halfway down. He cast 4 rings on the 4 ends of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. He made the poles of acacia wood, and overlaid them with bronze. He inserted the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar, with which he carried it. He made it hollow with planks. Moreover, he made the laver of bronze with its base of bronze from the mirrors of the serving women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Then he made the court. For the south side of the hangings of the court were a fine twisted linen, 100 cubits, their 20 pillars and their 20 bases made of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were of silver. For the north side there were 100 cubits, their 20 pillars and their 20 bases were of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were of silver. For the west side, there was a hanging of 50 cubits, with their 10 pillars and their 10 bases. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were of silver. For the east side, toward the sunrise, 50 cubits. The hangings for the one side of the gate were 15 cubits, and their 3 pillars and their 3 bases, and so for the other side. On both sides of the gate of the court were hangings of 15 cubits, with their 3 pillars and their 3 bases. All the hangings of the court all around were of fine twisted linen. The bases for the pillars were of bronze, the hooks of the pillars and their bands were of silver, and the overlaying of their tops were of silver, and all the pillars of the court were furnished with silver bands. The screen of the gate of the court was the work of the weaver, of blue and purple and scarlet material, fine twisted linen, and the length was 20 cubits and the height was 5 cubits, corresponding to the hangings of the court. Their 4 pillars and their 4 bases were of bronze, their hooks were of silver, and the overlaying of their tops and their bands were of silver. All the pegs of the tabernacle and of the court all around were of bronze. These were the things numbered for the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were numbered according to the command of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. Now Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. With him was Oholiab, the son of Ahisamech, of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman and a skilled designer and a weaver in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and fine linen. All the gold that was used for the work, in all the work of the sanctuary, even the gold of the wave offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The silver of those of the congregation who were numbered was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka a head, that is, half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for each one who passed over to those who were numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 603,550 men. 100 talents of silver were for the casting of the bases of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil. 100 bases for 100 talents, a talent for a base. Of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their tops and made bands for them. The bronze of the wave offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. With it, he made the bases to the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the bronze altar and its bronze grating, and all the utensils of the altar, and the bases of the court all around, and the bases of the gate of the court, and all the pegs of the tabernacle, and all the pegs of the court all around. Chapter 39. Moreover, from the blue and purple and scarlet material, they made finely woven garments for ministering in the holy place, as well as the holy garments which were for Aaron, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He made the ephod of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. Then he hammered out gold sheets and cut them into threads to be woven in with the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen, the work of a skillful designer. They made joining shoulder pieces for the ephod. It was joined at its two upper ends. The skillfully woven band which was on it was like in its workmanship, of the same material, of gold and of blue and of purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. They made the onyx stones, set all around in filigree settings of gold. They were engraved like the engravings of a signet, according to the names of the sons of Israel. And he placed them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He made the breastpiece, the work of a skilled designer, like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine twisted linen. It was square. They made the breastpiece, having been folded double, a span long and a span wide when folded double, and they mounted four rows of stones on it. The first row was a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald, and the second row a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst, and the fourth row a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were set in their filigree settings with gold filigree. The stones were corresponding to the names of the sons of Israel. They were 12, corresponding to their names, engraved with the engravings of a signet, each with its name for the 12 tribes. They made the breastpiece chains of a twisted work of cords in pure gold. They made two gold filigree settings and two gold rings, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. Then they put the two gold cords in the two rings at the end of the breastpiece. They put the other two ends of the two cords on the filigree settings and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. They made two gold rings and placed them on the two ends of the breastpiece, on its inner edge, which was next to the ephod. Furthermore, they made two gold rings and placed them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod. On the front of it, close to the place where it joined, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. They bound the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, so that it would be on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastpiece would not come loose from the ephod, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he made the robe of the ephod of woven work entirely of blue, and the opening of the robe was at the top in the center as the opening of a coat of mail, with a binding all around its opening, so that it would not be torn. They made pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material, and twisted linen on the hem of the robe. They also made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates all around on the hem of the robe, alternating a bell and a pomegranate all around on the hem of the robe for the ministry, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. They made the tunics of finely woven linen for Aaron and his sons, and the turban of fine linen, and the headdresses of the caps of fine linen, and the linen undergarments of fine twisted linen, and the sash of fine twisted linen, and blue and purple and scarlet material. the work of the weaver, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote upon it with engraved writing as found on a signet, Holy to Yahweh. They fastened a blue cord to it and fastened it on the turban above, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Thus, all the service of constructing the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed, and the sons of Israel did according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moses. So they did. They brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, and its pillars, and its bases, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of porpoise skins, and the screening veil, the Ark of the Testimony and its poles and the mercy seat, the table and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its arrangement of lamps and all its utensils, and the oil for the light, and the gold altar, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, and the veil for the doorway of the tent, the bronze altar and its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the laver and its stands, the hanging for the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, its cords and its pegs and all the equipment for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, the woven garments for ministering in the holy places, in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. Thus, according to all that Yahweh had commanded Moses, so the sons of Israel did in all their service. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it, just as Yahweh had commanded. So they had done it. Then Moses blessed them. Chapter 40. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall place the Ark of the Testimony there, and you shall screen the Ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange what belongs on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and mount its lamps. Moreover, you shall set the gold altar of incense before the Ark of the Testimony and set up the veil for the doorway to the tabernacle. You shall set the altar of burnt offering in front of the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen for the gateway of the court. Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it and set it apart as holy in all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils and set the altar apart as holy, and the altar shall be most holy. You shall anoint the laver and its stand and set it apart as holy. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and set him apart as holy, that he may minister as a priest to me. You shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall anoint them even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me. And their anointing will be for them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did, according to all that Yahweh had commanded him, so he did. Now it happened, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle and laid its bases and set up its boards and inserted its bars and erected its pillars. He spread the tent over the tabernacle and placed the covering of the tent on top of it, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he took the testimony and put it into the ark and attached the poles to the ark and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. He brought the ark into the tabernacle and placed the veil of the screen and screened off the Ark of the Testimony, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he put the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle, outside the veil. He set the arrangement of bread in order on it before Yahweh, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he placed the lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle. He lighted the lamps before Yahweh, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he placed the gold altar in the tent of meeting in the front of the veil, and he burned fragrant incense on it, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Then he placed the screen at the doorway of the tabernacle. He placed the altar of burnt offering before the doorway of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and he offered it on the burnt offering and the meal offering, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He put the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and put water in it for washing. From it, Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet. When they entered the tent of meeting and when they approached the altar, they washed, just as Yahweh had commanded Moses. He erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and he put up the screen of the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had dwelt on it, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. Now throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of Yahweh was on the tabernacle by day, and there was a fire in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. Hebrews chapter 1. God, having spoken long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days spoke to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power, who, having accomplished cleansing for sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels winds and his ministers flaming fire?" But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they all will wear out like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies as a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is Montana. Now some personal messages for our brothers and sisters in the resistance behind enemy lines in occupied Canada. The outhouse is out of TP. The outhouse is out of TP. The doctor's stethoscope is cold. The doctor's stethoscope is cold. The chair is in front of the television. The chair is in front of the television. St. Nicholas punched Arius. St. Nicholas punched Arius. Love is hard to find. Love is hard to find. Flocks of geese fly high. Flocks of geese fly high. And now, back to our show. I've been thinking a lot, especially with the revelations coming out of the Durham report about Hillary Clinton spying on the Trump campaign in 2016 and on the Trump White House immediately following the election. I've been thinking about all the dirty tricks that were used against Trump and the fact that a lot of people have never heard of these things. And a lot of people have never heard about these things because the press hasn't reported them, because the press was complicit in the dirty tricks. Let's just think about this. Back in 2016, you had the Steele dossier that was full of lies. It was entirely made up. It was paid for by the Clinton campaign, and it was pushed by the Obama Department of Justice and Deep State FBI. We have text messages between FBI agents about, A, how they were going to try to, they were trying to keep Donald Trump from being elected. And then once he was elected, they were trying to get him out of office as quickly as possible, thereby trying to thwart the will of the electorate. The Steele dossier was used to push the Mueller investigation, Robert Mueller, the special counsel. The Steele dossier was used to push this, even though they knew it was lies. So they started a criminal investigation on the basis of lies. And yes, there were some indictments over that, but they were all process crimes. Or, you know, they were none of it had anything to do with the original allegations. It was a witch hunt. People were railroaded. People were falsely accused. It was from the beginning a mess. And then the cry that Trump had colluded with the Russians to steal the 2016 election, that was a constant refrain from the Democrats and from their sycophants in the media. CNN, MSNBC, the networks, New York Times, the Washington Post, etc. It was all lies, and they knew it was lies, but it's all we heard about for 4 years during the Trump presidency, that he had colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 election. Well, now we know, we learned that the Clinton campaign was hacking Trump's computers, not just his private computers, but the White House's computers as well. That's a frightening thought. That should be probably the most secure computer system we can come up with. Of course, it was an inside job. The person that they hired had actually worked on those computer services, probably had a back door built in for just such a contingency. That's not an uncommon thing, for programmers and IT people to do, especially those of the hacking persuasion. And I'm friends with a couple of white hat hackers who work on computer security, and which is one of the reasons why my computer is pretty secure, because I know what to do and what not to do, and what scans to run and what software to use to keep my computer clean. And but the White House computers should be a lot more secure than mine, living out here in the piney woods. So that was 2016, and all through 2016, between 2016 and 2020. Then, during that time, you had two illegitimate impeachment proceedings against Trump based on lies. There was absolutely no basis for either of them. It was purely political reasons based on lies and based on politics. And then, beginning in the first part of 2020, we had the magnified overreaction and politicization of the COVID outbreak. to shut down the booming Trump economy. Remember how good things were in 2019? Remember making money? Remember the stores? Remember the booming economy? Remember energy independence? We were not dependent on foreign oil. That's all gone now. And that began with the shutdown of the economy in 2020 with the using the excuse of the COVID pandemic. We know now it was never as bad as they were broadcasting it out to be and making it out to be. The initial computer models of, 200 million dead and everything was all inflated. We know that. The numbers of deaths have been inflated. They've finally began to change their reporting standards so that someone who dies while infected with COVID will no longer be counted as someone who died from a COVID infection. The famous case of the guy who got killed in a motorcycle accident, but he happened to be infected with COVID, and so he was counted as a COVID death when COVID had absolutely nothing to do with his death. For the vast majority of people, a COVID infection has been mild. Not for everybody. I mean, it's a serious disease. I'm not denying that. And I've had friends who were hospitalized with it. But it's not generally that bad. And the newer versions have been more contagious but less severe, so that the current version out there is basically little more than the cold or the flu. Actually, it's less than the flu. And that's why it's all disappearing. They can't keep the lie up that long. That's why all the mandates are being lifted and everything. But, we also saw in 2020 targeted voter fraud in Democrat-controlled districts in key battleground states to steal the election. I believe an honest look at the election, and we're seeing the stuff coming out in Michigan and Wisconsin and Nevada and Arizona and Georgia, Pennsylvania. We're seeing people waking up to the fact that there was this massive voter fraud, even though the media still denies it. You won't hear these stories on CNN or MSNBC or ABC, NBC, CBS. But the evidence is there. I can't push it enough. Molly Hemingway's book, Rigged. If you want to know, she's got the receipts. It's there. And as the investigations continue, we're starting to see that. And I just read recently, I think, was it one of these states that the state legislature is actually talking about rescinding the certification of the election. That their election was so wrought with fraud that they won't stand behind it anymore. So Biden is not running things. somebody is running things behind Biden. The speculation is that it's Barack Obama. As I said, that's speculation, but it's not at all surprising if that is the case. His fingerprints were all over 2016. The Obama White House was assisting the Clinton campaign in the illegal acts being perpetrated against the Trump campaign. And Obama's fingerprints were all over the things that occurred after the inauguration of Trump. And I would not at all be surprised. As somebody said, when everything is shaken out on the 2020 election, they're going to find Obama's fingerprints all over everything. So we need to watch that. But the thing is, as I said, the lies couldn't be kept up for long. Things that are done in the darkness will come to light. And people are starting to realize what has happened and what was being done. They're having a hard time. The Democrats and their sycophants in the media are having a hard time keeping this stuff quiet, even though they're trying to downplay it. When the Durham report, these latest indictments came out in the Durham investigation, the major media didn't even report on it. As somebody said, if you looked at the Drudge report, which used to be straight news but is now part of the Mockingbird media, when you look at the Drudge report, you would never know that there were any allegations against the Clinton campaign. They just didn't even mention it. And the major news networks were the same for the first few days until it became undeniable. And so now it's starting to get out, but it's being downplayed. But the fact that the media has spread these lies and not covered the truth means that there are a lot of people who have never heard about any of this. And so you're starting to get a lot of questions from people. Wait a minute, what's going on? What do you mean Clinton spied on Trump? What do you mean? Those were all lies told by Trump, right? No, they weren't. They were the truth. And, you know, Trump's track record for telling the truth keeps getting better. And as much as people want to say that Trump was a liar, it doesn't look like he was. And that's a scary thought. We need to drain the swamp. We need to stop electing Democrats and stop electing rhinos. Start electing true conservatives across the board who are going to clean up Washington, D.C. and get rid of the corruption. That is the be-all and end-all of the political situation in the United States. If we are going to save our republic, that's how we got to do it. And so to that end, I'm telling you, stop electing Democrats, stop electing rhinos. That will take care of a lot of that. And push for election integrity in person on election day with ID on paper ballots. Those four things will solve the election fraud issues. Now, we are coming up on the 2020 midterms, and it looks like it's going to be a slaughter on the Democrats. The poll numbers, I just read that 51% of Democrats polled last week or very recently, 51% of Democrats want somebody other than Joe Biden in 2024 to run for president. They don't want a second Joe Biden term. And that's unprecedented that the party that holds the presidency wants somebody other than the sitting president to run again. That's wow. That's serious wow time. Things are not looking good for the Democrats at all. A lot of that is everything that's occurred in the last year, in the first year of the Biden administration, and everything that occurred in the last year of the Trump administration, excuse me, with the COVID shutdown and everything. We see that 30 Democrat congressmen, I think that's the latest count, 30 Democrat congressmen are not running for re-election in 2022. That's way more than the margin of the Democrat majority in the House of Representatives. And, of course, the Senate is 50-50. The only reason the Democrats control the Senate is because Vice President Kamala Harris is the tie-breaking vote. So if the Republicans pick up one seat in the Senate and I think a dozen seats in the House, control shifts back to the Republicans, which would be interesting. That's and it looks like it's going to be a lot more than that. just looking at the numbers, looking at the election cycle, looking at the poll numbers. It's not looking good for the Democrats at all. And remember, these poll organizations are part of the Mockingbird Media, and they're heavily weighed towards the Democrats. And if it's looking bad in the polls, that means it's probably worse than the polls are reporting. Remember, for well over a decade now, the polls are not reporting the news. The polls are designed to shape the news. They put out these poll numbers to try to persuade people that that's what everybody else thinks. The poll numbers, I truly don't think they reflect the actual opinions of Americans. And I think they have internal polling that they don't publish that probably shows much more accurate numbers. But the polls that are published, they're not accurately reflecting what's going on. And they haven't in well over a decade. Now, the things that happened during and between, you know, during this 2016 election cycle, during the 2020 election cycle, and between the two election cycles, a lot of it's criminal. I mean, election fraud is criminal. Spying on somebody is criminal. Perjury is criminal. And a lot of these affidavits and stuff that were used to push the Mueller investigation and all of that were perjurious, where people lied to the courts. Now, these are all criminal, yet nobody's gone to jail. Remember the chance of lock her up at Trump rallies in 2016 as he talked about the criminal issues involving Hillary Clinton? Think about Hillary Clinton for a minute. When she was Secretary of State, she was absolutely corrupt. The donations that were made to the Clinton Foundation that corresponded with things that she did as Secretary of State is phenomenal. The private email server that she maintained for the purpose of keeping all the corruption hidden. And it goes back to, you know, the Clinton administration in the 90s. The Chinese, remember Al Gore will go into the Buddhist temple and coming away with millions of dollars in campaign donations from a bunch of Buddhist monks who have sworn to poverty. Just remember this stuff. It wasn't that long ago. It's not being reported on. You're not hearing it. Sadly, the conservatives aren't trumpeting this stuff. And when it is, it's all being called conspiracy theories, but it's not. Like I said, we have the receipts. we know these things happened. And the fact that nobody's gone to jail over it is really sad. It shows the lack of justice, that our system of justice is broken. The things that Fauci and Collins were doing with the Chinese lab for decades, the fact that the Center for Disease Control and the National Institute for Health were funding this gain of function research on the coronavirus in the Wuhan lab, the virus that has caused all the problems for the last 2 years, that came out of a lab in China that was funded by the government organizations headed up by Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci. And when it first came out, when everybody first said, you know, this started in Wuhan, China. Isn't there a virology lab in Wuhan, China? Oh, no. It didn't come from the lab. It came from people eating bats in the marketplace. And any thought that this was a lab leak is purely a conspiracy theory, blah, 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 blah. We have now the emails between Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins talking about how we need to cover this up. We need to downplay the idea that it came from the lab. Why? Because it came to the lab and Fauci and Collins were funding the lab. That's just the facts. And so they conspired. Yes, they conspired. We have the emails that expose their conspiracy. They conspired to cover up the lab leak and to discredit and demonize anyone who said it came from a lab. We know that. We have the emails. Freedom of Information Act. The fact that these emails are on a government server means that the American people have access to them, which explains Hillary Clinton's private email server, because she did not want the public to have any kind of access to her emails. Folks, there's something rotten in River City, and it's been rotten for a long time. And quite frankly, you know, the two things are related. The Hillary Clinton campaign, I want to say shenanigans, but that's just not strong enough of a word. I don't know of the misconduct. It's also not strong enough a word. The criminal misconduct. The Clinton campaign, with the collaboration and cooperation of the Obama administration, was engaged in from the 2016 campaign on. The criminal corruption that was existent in the Obama administration, specifically in the Clintons. It's all criminal, and it's related to the COVID stuff. And the reason it's related is this deep state. The fact that you have government bureaucrats, unelected government bureaucrats, who don't get voted out every few years, who don't lose power when the parties, when the power in the Congress or the White House flips from party to party, who are always there, unelected, behind the scenes, mostly unknown, yet are able to shape policy, make decisions, often contrary to the elected officials. And that is all contrary to how America was designed to be worked. Do you know we don't know how many laws there are in America? Federal laws? We don't know. The reason we don't know is that laws are no longer made in Congress. Laws are made in regulatory agencies, of which there are dozens. And the regulations put out by the regulatory agencies have the force of law. Laws are supposed to be made in Congress and signed by the president. But often they're made in office buildings by faceless people we don't know. And they're not voted on by Congress. They're not signed by the president. They're just decreed by a government bureau. And that's a lot of our laws in the United States these days. We need to get back to the rule of law. I think I mentioned it before. I saw a bumper sticker one time. I wish I had bought it when I saw it. It said, "The Constitution of the United States isn't perfect, but it's better than what we've got now." And we need to get back to the Constitution. So we need to be running candidates who believe in the Constitution. We need to be electing candidates who will support the Constitution. You know, the oath of office of the president and the senators and the congressmen is to the Constitution of the United States. Well, many of the people in government have abrogated that oath. They swore to protect and defend the Constitution, and instead they're subverting it now openly. And it's just absolutely heartrending, and it's evil, and it's sad. I was listening yesterday, tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow, check for be sure, I think February 17th. I think tomorrow is the anniversary of the death of Rush Limbaugh. And last night, just while I was puttering around in my office here, I went to rushlimbaugh.com because I'm still a Ditto head and I'm still a Rush 24/7 member. I went to rushlimbaugh.com and I scrolled back through the Ditto Cam archives, and I was watching and listening to Rush's 30th anniversary show. 30th anniversary show was 2018. And listening to that and listening to this, President Trump called to congratulate Rush on 30 years. And in their conversation, Trump said, and this is, of course, 2 years into the Trump administration, Trump said that he had not realized how evil some of the people in Washington were, because prior to being elected president, he'd never spent the night in Washington. He'd been to Washington, but he never stayed there. He'd never spent the night in Washington prior to his election as president. And he said he didn't know anybody in Washington, really. He was a true outsider. And he gets down to Washington, and after 2 years, he's like, these people are evil. Well, yeah, Romans 1. You're going to find evil people everywhere. Post-Genesis 3 world. That's part of the Christian worldview, is understanding that people are evil. All people are evil, including you and me. We're not perfect. We've just been forgiven if we've trusted by faith alone and Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins. But in our flesh, we are and were evil. And as Jesus said to his disciples, if you being evil, and those are his disciples, which would be us, if we are a Christian, that's why we look forward to heaven and look forward to the final deliverance from sin, where sin no longer has any sway over us. What a glorious day that will be. But yeah, we've got a lot of evil in Washington, D.C., and it needs to be cleaned up. And that's why the forces were arrayed against Trump, because I actually think he intended to try to clean it up. Well, we need to get more people like Trump in office. My biggest regret is that Donald Trump did not possess 1/10 of the eloquence of Ronald Reagan. Had Trump, and to this day, and like I said, he may run in 2024, and if he does, he's most likely got my vote. It's a couple of years from now, but just where things sit, I'd love to see him get a second term and finish what he started, or at least set up others to finish what he started. And the conservatives have, there's hope out there. I'm still a big fan of Scott Walker. Ron DeSantis is awesome. Ted Cruz has stumbled a few times, but, I think by and large, he's on our side. There's hope on the conservative side. I wish we still had Rush Limbaugh. I really do. Nobody's ever going to replace Rush Limbaugh. Nobody's ever going to have the pull that Rush Limbaugh had. Nobody's ever going to have Rush Limbaugh's audience ever again in the sheer size of it. There's some good talk shows out there, and I listen to radio talk shows. I love Dana Lash. I like Sebastian Gorka. I love Bo Snerdly. He's been doing a local show in WABC in New York. He moved back to New York after Rush passed away, and got back into radio in New York. And while his show is local, I download the podcast and listen just about every day, and it's good stuff. We've got voices on the right, but nobody's ever going to have the voice that Rush Limbaugh had. But, you know, I'll take 1,000 little Rush Limbaughs. I'll take 1,000 small audience people saying the same thing Rush said. You know, we will do what we can. The, you know, as I said, the quantity has a quality all its own. So yeah, I, you know, people need to go to jail. Nobody has. And unless something changes drastically, nobody's going to. Because justice has been subverted and perverted to the point that things that were not crimes are, have been investigated for years, the Mueller report, and then things that are crimes are totally ignored. Hunter's laptop, the Biden family corruption in China and Ukraine. And I've got the, you know, I've there are books out there, but it's not mainstream. I mean, it's not getting reported, on CNN or, you know, NBC or any other of the networks. It's not being written up in the New York Times or the Washington Post or, and granted, you know, newspapers are dying, but the New York Times is still considered to be the newspaper of record, even though it's the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. And Rush used to say the media is the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. Back in the 90s, he was calling CNN the Clinton News Network because it was. And so we see all this leftism permeating our media. And it's no wonder that people are uninformed and lied to. We need to have an informed electorate. And so we need to do, each of us, the what we can to get the truth out. You know, I would really love to see what the history books say about this time period 100 years from now. I remember about, you know, reading in school about the Teapot Dome scandal and things that happened in the past, big government scandals. And I'd love to hear what they say in the future about this time period. But yeah, pray for our nation. Work to elect conservatives. Let's pray that God has mercy upon us and understand that, my gosh, we may get Roe versus Wade overturned this year. What a joy that would be. You know, maybe God is going to have mercy. Maybe God's going to turn things around. Certainly, this is a nation that's under his judgment. It's not humanly possible to save and restore the nation. It will require a movement of God. Pray for repentance. Pray for the proclamation of the gospel. Pray for the conversion of sinners. Pray that God would have mercy on America and that our nation would once again, you know, be moral and upright and upstanding. I've been recently reading some World War II history again, and just reading some of the things, and I think about all the stuff that God has preserved this nation through, and I pray that he's not done, and all the good that he has done in the world through this nation. And I pray that he's not done. But at the same time, I pray that this nation would repent of its sin and turn to God, because there is much wickedness here, even though I believe this is still the best place on earth. But I pray for a resurgence in morality and uprightness that we would see some of this stuff turned around. Because, frankly, what's been going on in the Clinton administration, the Bush 43 administration, or 43, the Obama administration, and now the Biden administration, we've got a lot of stuff that was worse than Watergate. And it would be really nice to see that cleaned up. And that would mean, yeah, people go to jail. And as the federal agent in National Treasure said, somebody's got to go to jail. So let's pray for justice. Pray for truth and justice. How can anybody be opposed to truth and justice? So let's pray for that. All right, it's Wednesday. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you tomorrow for Theology Thursday. God bless. Take care. See you later.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.